Now, Sports Talk with Broads. Here's Hunter Brody.
Oh, no, no, no! Before we talk about it all, we're on the road to 20,000 subscribers. If you're new to the channel, hit that subscribe button. Hit that thumbs up button as well. And over on Twitter, at Broads81, that is my personal account, hit the follow button over there as well. Fantastic in-game tweets. Fantastic, not in-game tweets, just a good follow all around. So make sure you do that. And with that being said, enjoy the show. This is what they do to us. We should not be surprised. This is what they do to the fans. They make us stay up until 1 a.m. here on the East Coast, and they punch us in the mouth. They give us a bloody nose. We wake up with two fat black eyes. Because they just knock us out with pain. That's what they do. As the Phillies lose in extra innings, Andrew Knapp can't block a wild pitch by Connor Brogdon for the scoring run. There was even bizarre moments before that where there's a throw to Andrew Knapp and a rundown at third coming towards home. He can't even handle the ball. I'm just sick of Andrew Knapp, and I feel, one, there should be no reason whatsoever I start this show off with Andrew Knapp, and two, there's this obsession and this overreaction to how great Andrew Knapp is behind the plate because of all these fantastic pitch sequences he calls. Let's look at the numbers. The ERA for Aaron Nola when Andrew behind the plate is 3.39 in 23 games. In 58 games for JT, it's 4.01. Shut up. Shut up. Andrew Knapp is bad. More Andrew Knapp is a disgrace. I want to vomit thinking about Andrew Knapp going 0-for-4 with a 1.53 batting average. Please, can we stop with this nonsense? A horrendous JT Realmuto is still significantly better than Andrew Knapp. You always want to point and try and pick one reason. Oh, the reason why Andrew Nola has been bad is clearly because JT, not because he has sucked. And you know what he didn't do tonight? He didn't suck. Crazy. Isn't that wild? Aaron Nola's three best starts this season prior to tonight. Yankees, 7 2/3, 3 hits, 9 strikeouts, 0 earned runs. Cardinals, 2-hitter, 10 strikeouts. It was a complete game. The Braves, 8 2/3, 4 hits, 9 Ks, 1 earned run. Guess who caught those games? JT Realmuto. I'm not telling you that JT caused a perfect game. This narrative and obsession with Andrew Knapp, though, has to go. Anyway, Aaron Nola, ridiculous. He was absurd. The sinker, the movement on the sinker blew my damn mind. The two-seamer, the action coming back towards the inside part of the dish or the right-handers, the outside part of the plate, was magnificent. Fastball command. Shocker, Aaron Nola breezes through when he actually has it. And he's pumping 95, 96 all night long. What? He averaged 94 tonight. His normal average is 92. He's throwing 95.9 to his brother in his first at-bat. He's throwing 96.2. That changes the game for Aaron Nola. I don't know where the hell that came from. Seventh inning. There's a bit of a debacle with Brad Miller at first base. There was a perfect game through six. Brad Miller has an error. Shocker. Defense is an issue. But Aaron Nola still faces some adversity. He handles it well. I know Manny Machado broke up the no-hitter and had an RBI after a stolen base, which tied the baseball game up. But in the seventh inning, he gets Fernando Tatis Jr. with one of the filthiest changeups I've seen from Aaron Nola all year long for Tatis' second strikeout of the day, fishing out of the zone. He got Eric Hosmer with a nasty curveball on the inside part of the plate. He was rocking and rolling and cruising. And that is exactly why I don't have a problem at all with Joe Girardi's decision to let him rock in the ninth, even after a walk to Tatis Jr. He had the second out with the Manny Machado lineout, which I got it. It was squared nicely, but it was an out. 3-1 count. Andrew Knapp sets up inside, and it was left over the middle of the plate. The problem was execution. You allow the Wheelers and the Nolas to try and complete a gem. They have the right. They have the support based off of their overall track record. Yes, Aaron Nola has been bad this year, but it's been inconsistent. He flashes greatness, and we know there's a lot left in the tank that Aaron Nola has that we haven't seen at a consistent rate this year. It hasn't been efficient, but it's not because it's not in there. We can all agree that what Aaron Nola did today, I mean, I'm a little shocked by the velocity in a positive way, but knowing he could mow down lineups literally two starts ago against the Los Angeles Dodgers, he had, what, 7 strikeouts in 4 innings, and if it wasn't for the rain, who knows what he would have done? He allowed 1 hit at that time, but that's it. He can do it. I already mentioned 3 stellar outings previously. It's not Matt Moore. Like, I can't stand this obsession with, once again, trying to point the one finger on the one problem. Joe should have went to Ian Kennedy. What? Ian Kennedy was used yesterday. The bullpen has been used. Aaron Nola was throwing 94 or 95 in the beginning of the 9th inning. There was no signs of fatigue. It's simply this. Aaron Nola missed a spot. Aaron Nola made a mistake. And Cronenworth made him pay. You can make a right decision and not get the best results out of it. I have no problem at all with Joe looking at Aaron Nola, knowing what's happened all season long with him and how he's been disappointing, seeing that, whoa, there's something here, and giving him that opportunity. He's one of those pitchers on your staff that is allowed to get that opportunity. The same people pissed that Joe's yanking Matt Moore out of a no-hitter and they want them to finish because he was throwing a gem are the same ones that want Aaron Nola out of the game. It just doesn't make any sense. He was pitching a gem and he deserved it. He failed. Still deserved the chance. I have no problem at all with that. I got a lot of problems with the offense, though. Shall we date back to the first inning? Here's your first inning. Odubel Herrera hits a major home run to start things off, and you get on the board early, 1-0. Gene Segura is hit by a pitch, and Bryce Harper singles. Didi Gregorius with one of the most vomit-worthy at-bats I've ever seen in my life, followed by Andrew McCutchen getting overpowered. He had 4 Ks swinging and 5 Ks total on the night. Andrew McCutchen, holy hell, does he look lost at the dish. He looked worse than I've ever seen Alec Boehm look. Ever. Andrew McCutchen looked worse tonight than I've ever seen Alec Boehm look in the batter's box. Come on, Kutch. You've been around the block. You're a veteran. I expect way more from you. And Brad Miller ended up popping out the center field. So nothing. No runs scored. Let's get to the top of the fourth. 2 out walks issued. And by the way, Musgrove early on, come on, he was giving you some things. He was all around the map. He eventually settled in. You got to catch them before they settle in. 4th inning. 2 out walks. Andrew Knapp up. Guess what happened? 0 runs scored. The 8th inning. The only reason you scored is what? 2 hit by pitches? That's outrageous. Hill's in there. Almost getting Bryce Harper up top. Crazy. It's like these are how we're producing our runs. Getting hit by pitches. Brad Miller, Didi Gregorius. Just crazy. Why aren't we getting more? You got to get more insurance. The offense failed you miserably. Again. It's a common theme right now. And I don't want to hear that Rhys Hoskins is the reason why this team has fell into a disaster. I like Rhys Hoskins a lot, but I am no way saying that this team just forgot how to play baseball against the Arizona Diamondbacks with pitchers who won't sniff Major League Baseball again in their damn career because of Rhys Hoskins. I'm not telling you that I'm not agreeing with that. I'm not. Rhys is important for depth. He's important for protection. I value that. This team just forgets how to play because of Rhys? No! No! I'm not into that narrative. I'm not. What else went on in this disaster? I mean, I keep hearing another reason why Joe was such an idiot tonight was because you allowed Aaron Nola to bat twice there in the eighth and ninth. You mean when he started things off with a leadoff double? You mean when he earned a walk? There was no problems at all with Aaron Nola batting in that eighth and ninth. He did nothing wrong. If anything, he did a lot compared to what's expected in that moment from a pitcher at the plate. The problem was the 3-1 pitch. That was literally the problem, which is a shame because for 99.99% of the game, Aaron Nola was such a joy. And I feel gutted for him, knowing what he's been through this year and knowing that he wants that pitch back big time. It's hard to swallow. Seeing him walk off the mound that way, it hurt. I was really pulling for him, and I had a huge smile on my face watching him pitch, watching him go after his brother, watching him utilize that fastball, watching that sinker. That was pure beauty. We've seen that very rarely this year out of him, and this was taken to a whole nother level. I can't get over the velocity and this mechanics. His mechanics were very strong. He was getting on top of his pitches, his delivery, all of it, cruising. And with the blink of an eye, that's why baseball is a dirty, dirty game, and it can spit in your mouth real quick. And that's exactly what we witnessed. I got no problem, though, once again, with watching Aaron Nola throw 94 or 95 in the start of that ninth inning and not going to Ian Kennedy. I saw Hector Neris at one point warming up. That's fine with me. Sticking with Aaron Nola. Stick to your guns. I got all these DMs afterwards on Twitter because I said, I don't want to hear Girardi slander tonight. That's not what it's about. The poor execution was what it was about. It's a results-based business, bros. If it's a poor result, it's a bad decision. That's not true at all. You have hindsight, so you saw what happened. It is very extremely possible to make a decision that makes a lot of logical sense and it doesn't pay off the way that you want it to, but it doesn't mean it was a disaster mindset heading into things. If Joe would have yanked Aaron Nola, I'll be honest with you. If he did pull Nola at 116 pitches or so or earlier than that in that ninth inning, I wouldn't have had an outrage either. I could see why you would go to an Ian Kennedy that deep into the pitches when you're throwing that many pitches. I wouldn't have been against it. I could understand why. But that doesn't mean I don't understand why you keep Nola in the game after what he did. He was electric. He was dynamite. He was on another level. He looked possessed. He had Zach Wheeler attitude and mannerisms with his demeanor on the mound. Looked like a special Aaron Nola. When you see special, you smell special, you have that gut feel of special, you stick with special, and you live with the results. And you know what? Tonight backfired. It did. But I'd be willing to take that again and again and again and again and have that play out again and again and again and again 100 out of 100 times. And I would have faith in my guy. And you know what? Aaron Nola hasn't been your guy for a long time this year. But he showed flashes of it. And today was one of the more intense versions of Nola. Other than that Cardinals 9-inning performance, you see 7 2/3, 8 2/3. It's been very rare this year, but it was in there tonight. And just one mistake, and it wasn't because of fatigue. I told you, he was gunning 95, 94 in that inning. He got a lot of outs early in at-bats, which was so big for his entire pitch count throughout the outing. It just stings now thinking about it because it somewhat feels irrelevant. But you think about what happened in the, I have it written down here, in the first inning, it was a 7-pitch first inning. It was an 11-pitch second inning. It was a 9-pitch sixth inning. Bang, bang, bang. You know, just bang, 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 doing his thing and cruising. And with a blink of an eye, you're going, no shit. No way. Watching Cronenworth run around first base, his face just filled with excitement and emotion, screaming. His face is turning red. The fans at San Diego going wild. So damn jealous. I have to throw this in here, by the way. Pat McCarthy, I know I just totally went down a random little path here that is not even close to the game and the context and losing a baseball game. But Pat McCarthy, that was outstanding. That was a fantastic game on the call by him. Did not skip a beat stepping in for his father's role. Now, I'm a big fan of Tom McCarthy, and I know that he gets a lot of hate, and there's a lot of people that despise Tom McCarthy, and I think a lot of it had to do with who he was following and how tough that is. And there's also the Greg Murphy. I can't believe I just had a brain fart and actually had to look up Greg Murphy. But when Greg Murphy filled in the other week, I'm a fan of Greg Murphy. I think he's a fantastic human being. He was a great sideline reporter. But you could tell the difference in the professionalism of Pat McCarthy and him growing through the ranks of minor league baseball and working with the Iron Pigs. He sounded like a true natural play-by-play broadcaster, and that was great. I mean, that was absolutely fantastic. So I just want to put that out there that I was very intrigued. I was actually excited for that. That was an angle of the game that I was looking forward to sitting back relaxing on my Saturday night, even though the baseball game at the end ripped my heart out and made me suffer and I wanted to cry and made me sick. I tweeted that out during the game. I'm sick as soon as I saw that blast come off of the bat on the 3-1 pitch. Nauseous. Sweating, turned purple. Ugh! Pat McCarthy, though. If I'm looking for my positive, I'm going Pat McCarthy. What else? What else happened in this nut job of a game? Oh man, it's just a mess. And looking at the lineup before the game, you look at the 6, 7, 8, 9. You got Brad Miller, Ronald Torres, Andrew Knapp, Aaron Nola. It's just really ugly right now. And a lot of it stems from Alec Boehm not being able to play because he's that much of a disaster. Rhys Hoskins is out. Now you're forced to play Alec Boehm all the time. And yeah, there's a difference between having a lefty and having a righty on the plate, and you can get creative with that if Alec Boehm was actually a playable piece. But the reason why you're forcing a utility guy like Brad Miller to be involved so much is because Alec Boehm can't play. If he was an actual hitter and he had power in his bat, he'd be in the lineup every single damn day, and we wouldn't see as much Brad Miller. But that's a problem, which hurts your lineup. Didi Gregorius is not a cleanup hitter. Neither is JT Realmuto, who was out of the lineup today, but definitely not Didi. I don't know if you have a true option at the leadoff spot. Odubel might be the best scenario for you. He rocked a homer today. It's by default that you keep throwing him out there, although now he looked a little shaken up with his ankle. I don't know if anyone saw this play, but it was in the eighth inning. Andrew McCutchen makes a catch out in, it was a running play in that left center field area. Him and Odubel Herrera afterwards both make this grimace. McCutchen starts limping a tad while Odubel Herrera goes down to the ground. So it seems Odubel's beat up. Who knows what his availability is going to be moving forward, but it's clear he's trying to play through some pain, and maybe he's hitting a wall here, or maybe we see him continue. I don't know. Only time will tell. He showed he was worthy of that leadoff spot tonight, though, with that big home run early on. You can make the argument, though, on the play by Manny Machado to hit the RBI single. Did he make the best play on the ball? Did he make the best attempt on the ball to get a throw at home? Or did he settle? Was he okay with, all right, we'll just settle here and I'll throw it in nonchalantly? I saw that going around the Twitter sphere a bit. I do believe it was intensified more than I would like to intensify it. It was probably going to score a run anyway, but I also didn't love the effort. Is there a reason why the effort wasn't fully there? Was it because of the ankle injury and he can't push it to that level because he's in so much pain? So that limited him out in center field? I don't know. I'm just asking questions. I do know, though, about DraftKings Sportsbook. Everyone's favorite time of the year is right around the corner, the college football season. And to celebrate, DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new players in the center of the action with $200 in free bets instantly. If you bet $1 or more on any college football game, take advantage of this limited-time offer right now. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code BROADS to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any college football game. That's promo code BROADS to get your free $200 in free bets instantly for a limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. DraftKings Sportsbook, by the way, is safe, secure, and reliable. Located right here in the United States. So it's easy to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Head to the DraftKings Sportsbook app now to check out all their great promotions and daily odds boost that they are offering. Okay, let's go to the Anytime Hotline. I am very, very fascinated to hear the reaction from the people after the game. Here we go.
I want to be mad. I'd rather be mad. But I'm just, like, I'm just miserable. Like, it's not even... It's better when you're mad because then you have emotion there. And like you care, but I almost just kind of don't care anymore. Like, what do we expect from this team? Let's go to the next season. Football's here. Screw baseball. I'm done.
Now, I have to admit, I'm laughing at your pain in a very awful way where I know how you're feeling, so it's a fake laugh. It's a I'm disgusted laugh. And I think I mentioned this perfectly today on The Fanatic when talking about how I'm analyzing this team moving forward. I'm basically sarcastically rooting them on, sarcastically watching them play. That's what it is. I'm not doing it because I truly, truly, truly deep down believe they have a real chance. I don't. I don't believe that chance is really there. I've seen enough baseball to know that the product they give you on a consistent night is just outrageously poor and all over the map, that it's not real. They're not a real team that should be hanging around a playoff spot. They don't deserve it, and they've shown you why they do not deserve it. So, you know, hey, here we go. Phil's by three tonight, or let's go, Phil's. I think their offense is going to wake up. It's all being facetious. It's all just having fun with it and a joke. I don't want to give up because I love the sport so much, so I watch them because I love baseball, and I love analyzing the game to a deep degree and looking at the thick of it all. It's so much fun to me. At the same time, my expectations have dropped so much this year, and even after that 8-game win streak, I think it's pretty inevitable what's happening here. But that's not going to take away from my love of the game. So I'm having this mix of I love baseball. I hate the Phillies. I despise them. I know who they are now. I know reality. I can smell what's happening. I'm not truly getting fooled, but I'm here because a number one goal, and that's so sad that this is the bar the Phillies have set for me over the last handful of years. But one of my biggest concepts every single year is get me to the end of August. If you get me to August and you get me to football season, that's a success. And I know that that's horrendous and that's such a flawed mindset, but that's how bad the Phillies organization has been for so long. That's where the bar is really set. I'm not happy that that's the case, but there's only so much I could base my expectations off of. And if you roll me into September with baseball that actually caught me emotionally, whether it was because of pain or because it was pure enjoyment, and most of the time it's pain, as long as I'm emotionally tied and invested because you're hanging around, whether it's because you're good or everybody else sucks, you're hanging around, and that keeps me mentally and physically engaged every night. That's all I can ask for. So I guess the standard is basically, I don't care if you suck, just hang around. Isn't that terrible? And that's not my fault that that's where my expectations are. That's on you, John Middleton. That's the bar you set as an owner. That's for damn sure. What's next?
Hey, Bruce. I mean, just, wow, just such a painful loss. I mean, for that final, I don't know if Ramuto could have been able to block that ball, but I mean, that's just disappointing. I think I understand trusting in Noel there to let him pitch to Cronenworth, but I wouldn't mind walking Cronenworth to face his brother who's been dominating all day.
I can understand that mindset as well. Now, that was Andrew Knapp behind the plate, And he was just a disaster. I don't know what happened previously before that when the Padres were doing whatever the hell they were doing on the base paths, but Andrew Knapp couldn't properly secure the baseball. It ended up working out in the Phillies' favor regardless, but that doesn't make up for the fact that he wasn't prepared for that spot, just like he wasn't prepared to block that ball by Connor Brogdon when he threw that pitch. That's totally unacceptable and has to be a different result. I would have been okay if they went after Austin Nola afterwards and maybe threw a ball on purpose to Cronenworth there with the 3-1 count, see if he chases. Okay, if he doesn't, you put him on. And yeah, I mean, it's not ideal to have two guys on in that spot at all, but you're right. He has had Austin Nola's number for majority of the night, and you have that special moment. That's been one of the biggest storylines all game long, was brother versus brother. And you saw Aaron Nola throw his hardest pitch as he had underneath of a matchup with with Austin Nola. So, yeah, I would have been okay with that. I could see and honestly respect three decisions that we have discussed tonight. Going to Ian Kennedy, letting him go to Cronenworth, letting him go to Nola. I got no problems with any three of those options. What I have a problem with is leaving a pitch over the middle of the plate. It just sucks to say that after such a magnificent performance, because that was unbelievable. It really was. I mean, I put a huge smile on my face the entire time watching that. But when it was 1-0 and it continued to be 1-0 throughout the game, something didn't feel right. I've seen this story too many times. I've been around for too long to know that something was going to show its ugly head. I didn't expect it to be Nola, to be fair. I really did expect it to maybe be the bullpen, but I also knew that the pitch count was so low that there would have been an awesome chance for him to go the distance, so I didn't know if the bullpen was ever going to be in that game to even have a chance to blow the lead. Well, it was a combination of Nola and the pen and the offense. So sad. So sad. What's next?
Bro, I don't know what that was. I have no idea what that was. Well, first of all, this isn't on Aaron. He pitched a great game, and to see his face in the dugout when Gerard had to pull him out was just devastating. He did what he had to do. He made one bad pitch. All right, whatever. Offense was horrible yet again. He had to rely on two-hit batters to score runs, but you couldn't even get a hit in the eighth. When Aaron Nola was the one who let it off with the double. How? On what team? Wrap it up. Whatever happens this year, certain people cannot be on this team next year.
Andrew Knapp slander. It's so funny because everyone loved Andrew Knapp because of how bad JT Realmuto's number is with Aaron Nola. It comes down to Aaron Nola. Why was Aaron Nola great tonight? Because of Aaron Nola. Aaron Nola was why Aaron Nola was awesome today. When you look at JT Realmuto setting up, and I'm not telling you that JT's a fantastic play or a pitch caller, but I'm telling you that Aaron Nola struggling is because Aaron Nola struggled. It's not because of JT Realmuto randomly throwing down numbers in between his legs, and that's why Aaron Nola has sucked. There's a methodical game plan. Caleb Cotham, Aaron Nola, JT, they come together before starts and they talk about what they're going to do. It's not just nonchalant and, hey, let's play a guessing game. And by the way, Aaron Nola has the chance to call off any pitch thrown his way. So at the end of the day, if he has the final call, if he has the final say, if JT puts down a number that Aaron Nola doesn't want to throw, he has the power to say no and change the pitch throughout a sequence of a game. So once again, it falls back on Aaron Nola more than the catcher's impact on the outing. And that's not to devalue what catchers bring to the table. I caught for my entire damn life. It does have a part of this, but people are putting too much emphasis and overvaluing how much it goes into it. If you remember the other day against the Cincinnati Reds, leadoff batter, 0-2 count, JT Realmuto sets up outside on the outside corner of the plate and it goes middle in and Jonathan Indian hits a major home run to start off a game against the Reds. He missed the spot. Everyone's complaining about, well, why was this pitch called? He missed the spot! If you miss the spot, you're not getting the same pitch! You're not getting the same location! You're not getting what the catcher wanted! Knapp didn't want that pitch there! JT didn't want the pitch over the heart of the plate last time! Come on now. I'm surprised by the the reaction, but I guess I shouldn't be. You're looking for the finger to point at someone. You're looking for the reason why. Who can I blame? There's got to be someone I can blame. Ooh, the manager. Well, I hate to break it to you. Joe Girardi was not the problem tonight. And Joe Girardi hasn't been fantastic this year. Quite frankly, I think we can all agree that he's been disappointing if you just think about, in general, what he brings to the table. But tonight, on an individual basis, it's getting late. It's 1:50 a.m. On an individual basis, tonight's game, I got no problem with what he did. What's next?
Bros, that was pathetic. That was absolute. Noah was pitching his heart out. His heart out. Like, that was one of the best we see his. He was just intense. That fastball had bite. It got bite. And we let him down. Brad Miller let him down. Offense let him down. Oh, it was hit. He was the game. He was a run. He was the game. You can't have the pitcher be your game, bros. That's hang in there, man. That was ridiculous. Love your channel, man. You're awesome. I love you.
Thank you so much, man, for the kind words. I greatly, greatly appreciate that for sure. You could have a pitcher be your game. You've seen it before. You've seen the Zach Wheeler games. It's okay if it's your game. It's hard to do, and it's hard to pull off, and you don't want to live and die by that consistently. But if it's there and it shows it's possible on that night, it's totally okay if that does happen a short amount of times out of 162, but it does occur. But you're right, Brad Miller with the mistake and the error and the offense, it was a problem. It was definitely problematic. I was almost fascinated, though, by how Aaron Nola was going to respond. Okay, he had a perfect game through six. What does he do when Brad Miller does screw up? What does he do when there is a problem? Okay, when he is facing some adversity, how does he act? Now, Manny Machado broke up the no-hit bid, but he had a big strikeout to Fernando Tatis with an amazing changeup. He had a wicked curveball to Eric Hosmer, and he was electric afterwards. So, okay, I tip your cap to facing the adversity. Just comes back to that one bad pitch, that one really awful, ugly pitch. Oh, I'm not going to be able to sleep at night. I'm going to stare at the ceiling like I always do. And that's where we're going to shut things down here as it's getting pretty damn late. I want to thank everybody so much for listening, and I will see you next time.